Ligue 1, and match day 36 was played this weekend, or at least part of it, of course, with the French Cup final being played. The two teams that were involved in their Nice and Nantes weren't playing this weekend, and so the games which are Nice, Saint-Etienne, and Nantes-Rennes will be played on Wednesday night or Thursday morning. We had eight games. We had a plethora of goals, a couple of very important wins, some teams saving themselves from relegations, one team bouncing back nicely from their midweek loss. And we're going to look at it, I guess, chronologically from the first game to the last. And the first game was Friday night, Lille against Monaco, and a 2-1 win for Monaco with Tchouaméni, who's right now talked about as Pogba or Kanté or some player in that realm of midfielder, and is probably about to get his big move in the summer. It's called a brace against Lille, and the equalizer from Angel Gomez in the meantime didn't mean much for Les Dogs. Monaco, who actually didn't even play that well against Lille, they probably were, I don't know, maybe tired from the past couple of weeks or something. I would have thought, to be honest, that Lille were going to be quite hungover from that shocking game in Troyes the week before, where they conceded three penalties and get two red cards. So yeah, they were playing without Carlos Sanchez and without Yilmaz, who both got red carded the week before. But at the end of the day, Tchouaméni on two, I guess, two individual prowess, left-shooted effort from outside of the box and right-shooted effort even more powerful from just a little bit further, was just too much for Lille. It's Monaco's eighth win in a row.
What a remarkable turn of affairs for them. As you said there, Tchouaméni is all over the British press today. Apparently Liverpool are coming in with a £50 million pound bid. But even at that valuation, he's a bargain, isn't it? When you see what some of them players go for. And then when Camavinga did that on the world stage for Real Madrid, that cameo, I think a lot of people, if they haven't been seeing the caliber of centre midfielders coming out of Ligue 1, he is going to put even more wind in the sails of these agents looking towards France. What that cameo he did for Madrid, it completely turned that game. And this guy, he scored with the left and the right foot the other night. And as you said, Monaco were off the boil. It was his brilliance that got them over the line. But then you have the polar opposite. Jonathan David, what has happened to him? He's just gone, isn't he? He's gone completely off the board. And if you're Lille, I'm probably seeking to transfer him out to raise funds this summer. His valuation is dropping millions week by week. Interestingly, do you see there's rumours linking Lille with York in recent days? But him and David, if David waited, he'd be in. He'd be a good little and large combination, wouldn't he? Wouldn't they work well together? But Lille, they seem to be ending the season almost as bad as Nice. Is it the Galtier effect?
The Galtier curse. Yeah, you go down the table. You're looking for Lille right now. They're 10th. Like you mentioned, they are just. I mean, they didn't start really well, and then they had I think that Champions League run that really helped. Keeping them a bit in the momentum and keep them happy. And then they got the results in Ligue 1 sort of coming with those Champions League run. But they're not feeling it well. And last week, clearly the frustration took the best of them in Troyes. And this week was, I think the last chance was gone a couple of weeks ago, but this week was the last chance in case they wanted to try and grab something, but now it's too late, it's gone. And Monaco, on the other hand, with Philippe Clément since he came up, with that win, they were leveled with Marseille before Marseille played and a bit later on the weekend. But now they're only 3 points behind Marseille. They're 3 points over Rennes, who's playing midweek, as we mentioned before. And they have a real chance as a Champions League next year, which, halfway, even when Kovac was here, we could still see it happening. But when Philippe Clément took over, 1 month in, it felt like it was the wrong call. It felt like Kovac should have stayed. It felt like nothing had been done the right way, that Monaco was probably, egos and falling over themselves and da 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 da. And then 9 wins in a row and you know, wins against Nice and against Paris Saint-Germain and important wins in there really put them back on it. You were talking, just to close on that one, you were talking about Tchouaméni and the price tag. You know, 50 million is 50 million. But what are they talking about for Declan Rice, the kid from West Ham? They're talking about like 130, 100 or something like that, right? 100 million for him.
Yeah. I think, and I can assure you, Jeremy, Declan Rice, he used to be Irish. he played a few games for Ireland before deciding to switch to the more lucrative nationality. But I can assure you, if he still had an Irish passport, his valuation wouldn't be that. It seems to be an English premium, isn't it? If you play for England, your valuation is automatically 100 million. Perfect example there. We mentioned Real Madrid against Man City. Jack Grealish, 100 million. Camavinga comes on. He had a bigger influence on that game. What did Madrid get him for? 30 million euro, was it?
Yeah, 35, yeah.
That is age. Daylight robberies. It's fraud. They've committed fraud. And it's like you said, his valuation, it should be at least 100 million. Especially the money them Premier League clubs have now, isn't it?
Too much importance given to how many shirts you're going to sell, depending on the name that you have behind. Tchouaméni is too long to write on the shirt. Rice is easy, and it's English. everybody would love that. All right, onto the next game. Brest was hosting Strasbourg hours before the Coupe de France final, actually, on Saturday afternoon. And Strasbourg also got an all-important win in Brest in their race for European football, not without suffering. Brest played well under their Zakarian. They're finally doing okay the second part of the season. And they brought a lot of danger around Matt Sells, the Strasbourg goalkeeper, who's probably in contention to be the best goalkeeper in Ligue 1 this season. They did hit the crossbar. Strasbourg answered. Gamero hit the crossbar himself. And then finally scored in second half. Gamero winning his 1v1 against Vizo. A game that could have gone both ways, but you know, you've seen them playing a couple of times, Liam, this season. Marco Bizot for Brest and Matt Sells for Strasbourg. How do you rate them in the goalkeepers that we've had this season? It's not a season where goalkeeping has been extraordinary in France, right? We usually have one or two stands out, Mike Maignan, Edouard Mendy, and this season it wasn't quite there. So it looks like those two might have been up there with maybe Benitez.
I think so. I think they're the only two that come close to sort of Benitez there for a long time. And with that, Strasbourg again the season, funny enough, against your team, isn't it, Marseille? Mm-hmm. But Julian Stéphane, what do you reckon of his performance there? Because wasn't a lot of people in France thought he could not do it outside of Rennes. And I think he's proved, me and myself, I thought as well that Rennes was his ideal playground, that he wouldn't be able to repeat the trick, but he's doing a great job, isn't he?
Well, in Rennes, he came from the academy, right? So he built, there's building a team and there's building a fucking club because he took the kids from 15 years old, 16 years old, 17, 18, and then when he took the first grade, the pro, so I should say, he had those kids coming up with him, you know, Camavinga and Okechugu and Asignon and all those kids that we see now succeeding with Rennes. Truffert, they came up under him and he made them who they were. So it really looked like it was, you know, not a perfect storm, but like a 6 years brewing storm that just came to a climax when they win the French Cup and when they finally qualify to the Champions League. So him going to Strasbourg, I think at first there was a mixed feeling. It was a bit of a, kind of like Galtier and Nice, it was a bit of a, we thought that you were the man, so, you know, why are you going to Italy or England, or why are you taking Lyon or that kind of club? You know, why are you kind of taking the step back? But like you said, I think it's proven everybody wrong. Unfortunately, the naysayers in France would tell you that he went for the easy markets. You know, he went for the place where even if the results aren't good, nothing's going to happen to him because it's not a team that has a lot of ambition. But I think it's definitely created an ambition now at Strasbourg, building that team.
And it plays with them bombing wing-backs, isn't it? All they do, I was reading a stat, I think it was in L'Equipe, that they've put in the most crosses from any team in Ligue 1. But then again, you know, if it's York leaves, Will he get as many crosses at another club? He could be in the ideal environment for a big striker like that, isn't he?
Ajork and also Habib Diallo, their second striker, who's very, very demanded and very attractive. And their number 10, Thomasson, is also in demand. And their number 6. So, yeah, of course, when you perform like this, everybody starts noticing who you are and who your players are. The last game, I guess, that was important for the European football, and then we'll talk about the relegation a little bit more, was Marseille in Lorient. Marseille midweek lost against Feyenoord, or not lost, sorry, got disqualified against Feyenoord for drawing 0-0 at home, not disqualified, just didn't make it through. Jeremy, get your English words right. So just didn't make it through to the final because they draw at home and couldn't get the win. I was kind of afraid that, you know, Marseille were going to crash after that loss. I mean, you know, it's a lot of emotional work put into a semi-final. At the conference final, conference league title was definitely an objective of Marseille. And you know, I was actually surprised about how much control they showed against Lorient and how cool they were. I mean, if the goalkeeper is not in like a perfect day almost for Lorient, they probably scored 3 or 4 in the first half with Gerson and Dieng. But of course, then when Dieng scored that karate kick goal, there's not much that Dreyer could do. And then in the second half, Dreyer makes a mistake when Guendouzi shots. Great for Marseille, showed their composure, showed, unfortunately for the Marseille fan, that the team is much better away from home than they are when they play at the Vélodrome this season. But also, Payet got injured against Feyenoord. Harit and Milik get injured on Friday. And then during the game, Bakambu, Chaletacha, Dieng, and Gerson all get injured. That's 7 potential starters that Marseille is losing before facing Rennes and Strasbourg to play their qualification for the Champions League next year. What do you do? You know what I mean? Do you call Papin back? What's the solution for Marseille?
Rennes have got a rest too, didn't they? They've got a few days.
Well, they're playing midweek, so they're going to play 2 games in a week. But yes, true.
Yeah, you can point them that way. But Rennes are a funny one, aren't they? Because you have, I hope I don't murder this pronunciation. What is his name? Bourigeaud. Odd French looking to give me the passport. he has really surprised me. And he is one of the most underrated players, I think, in the French division. You know who he reminds me of for any fans of the EPL listening? He's like a French version of James Ward-Prowse, but he's a winger, isn't he? He set pieces, venomous with the ball, and then you have Terrier as well. They seem to be getting these players almost having Moroccan summers or the late bloomers. But with Marseille, when I seen Payet get injured, I went, ooh. And you see Monaco making that late charge. It's like a cocktail, but Marseille seem to find a way this season, don't they? Would you agree? If Nice, I would say, through my tinted glasses, were faced with the challenges that Marseille have, I think our soft underbelly would just show and we would crumble. But Marseille seem to find a way. Is Papajang's injury serious? Is it because he gives you pace at least, isn't it, if he's still available?
Sampaoli said in the post-game conference, on the day after, in the press conference, he said that only Bakambu's injury was a real worry. But, you know, what does that mean? He's not going to say at the press conference, yes, I'm out of 8 starters and come and roll all over me on the weekend. I think it's a bit of an unknown. I think we'll know more, of course, the day before the next game. Without Payet, all those games, like I said, they're pretty comfortable away from home, but all those games against the big teams, against Paris, against Lyon, against Monaco, against Nice, Marseille did something okay. Payet was involved. If he's not involved, it's much harder for Marseille. The replacement that is Harit or Gerson, they are good, but they are nowhere near the level of Dimitri Payet as far as creativity goes. So losing their technical leader for the last two games is hard. And I guess that's one question actually I have for you with Marseille at the end of season. If you can finish second, third, or fourth, I think you take second or fourth, but you don't want to take third. You don't want to have to go through like two tours of the Champions League in July. It completely messes up with your team.
You know, preseason.
Monaco last year, right?
Yeah. You know, preseason and players that might sign for you, they're watching it. They go, oh, that's a bad result there. It can be, it's like a course sometimes. It can work the wrong way. With a camera, are you going to sell him to Aston Villa?
He's free. He's free. Boubacar Camara is at the end of his contract in June. What's his name? A guy on the French radio show, Jonathan McCarty is his name, was saying that he was at the Parc des Princes when Paris plays against Marseille and heard, I think it was a West Ham scout that was right there. And he was like, oh, are you here to check Boubacar Camara because he's free? And the scout was like, oh, no. He's out of our league. Like, he's only going to go to a team who's already qualified for Champions League. So supposedly, it's either Milan or Aston Villa in Spain. Not this season. Maybe next season.
Our manager, Steven Gerrard, he was in the crowd for one of your games there about 2 weeks ago. He was there with our CEO. But... they mightn't be watching him. They might have been watching someone else, you know. I know we sniff around centre-backs as well. Mm-hmm. So we're writing some of them up. But as you said with Marseille, I think you deserve second place despite Monaco's blistering late gallop, you know. But it seems more defining this season in ways for Monaco because you get the feeling that they're really going to get cherry-picked this summer. Whereas Marseille look like they're a club on the up again, it's going to be harder for sort of the vultures to get players out of Marseille. Marseille are always tough negotiators, aren't they? The English clubs can't come in and get players on the cheap deal.
With Longoria, hopefully they'll be able to keep doing this, and then who knows if they can actually bring a team to actually perform in Champions League and not be ridiculous like they were a couple of seasons ago. All right, let's look at the bottom of the table, and I guess the teams that did really well and saved themselves, and I'm talking about Clermont and Troyes, and then the team that completely crumbled, Bordeaux. There was in the middle of all that one team that their win might sound just anecdotic and maybe doesn't matter, but there could be a little miracle. Metz won against Lyon 3-2. You know, Lyon's going to do Lyon, right? After that 3-0 win against Marseille last week, you know, Jean-Michel Aulas was almost here saying that he's about to win the Champions League. And then next thing you know, nosedive during the week against the bottom of the table Metz. I mean, come on, they've been bad all season.
14 games they were winless, Metz
They've been terrible. And they've been the team that was almost like they're going to second division. And it is what it is. And Antonetti, for all we love him, can't do anything about that. But two goals very early, Pajot and Lamkelze and the Lyon defense completely out of it. And then finally, Lyon responds like they've done so many times this season, I guess, coming up from behind and counting on Dembele to bring it back together. Dembele, who scored his 18th goal this season, which is his best tally in his career. And then he's offering the equalizer to Toko Ekambi when Lyon was down to 10 men. So it looked like Lyon had made it back. Thiago Mendes gets red carded for a foul on Lamkelze as the last defender. But yeah, then Lyon equalizes. And so then you're down to 10 men. You've made it from 0-2 to 2-2. You know, everything looks great. And Farid Boulaya, the technical leader of Metz, who's been pretty average all season. He was linked with Marseille and with Nice in the offseason and it didn't happen. But then when we saw how he played this season, nobody regretted that the transfer didn't happen. But he just scored a screamer, Arjen Robben style, left-footed rocket in the far corner to give his team the 3 points. But Lyon, with that win, they go over Bordeaux. They're not condemned yet, but it's tight. It'll take a bit of a miracle for them to save themselves. But it's 3 points that actually allow them to hope for Xavier.
Yeah. Bad result Lyon. For Saint Etienne, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. They can count on Nice not being great, and hopefully they can get the 3 points in the week.
Lyon, Pilar Bosch, what is he doing? You look at that Lyon side, look at some of the players they had there. Panquetta, Jerome Boateng, Emerson. They're superstars, some of them guys. They belong in the Champions League, them players, and they're losing to Mets. And as you said there, there is a good run of form. So they play Marseille and they play Montpellier before this game. They scored 8 goals in those 2 games. You're thinking, here they go. But it's all Dembele, isn't it? It's him. He has just burst into flames of form. He's the Celtic version now, isn't he? That's what they thought he was going to be. He's finally living up to his billing. But is he living it up to? Is he playing for a move? Because surely the form he is in, Arsenal, they could do with a player like that. They could shoot at him, wouldn't they? Straight away. He seems a really Arsenal type player. But yeah, I think Pilar Bosch, I think his job is under threat now. Has there any hopes of a late dash for Europe is over?
He's confirmed him though. Ola said that Peter Bosz is going to be the coach next year. So that's what baffles me. I mean, Lyon is they're the epitome of leveling yourself to your opponent. They play against Paris, Champions League level. They play against Marseille, Champions League level. And then they play against Metz or Reims or Brest or Clermont, and no one shows up. There's absolutely no motivation. And that's the worst thing. If you want to win the game, that's the game that you should not even have to look on the calendar. It's one, it's a win, it's a win, it's a win. We're playing Paris Saint-Germain. That might be complicated. And then win, win, win. If you want to be where Lyon is supposed to be, that's how they need to think. And it was... it was a pretty terrible season for them. Let's see what they do. They say Ola said that Bosz would stay and that he will offer him the transfer window that he deserves to be able to put his football through. I'm all for trusting the coach and not getting rid of him after a game, even after a season, because you haven't seen yet what he's done. But if next year, after 3 games, he doesn't have results, I'm pretty sure that he's gone.
Because the players at his disposal, and look at the end, they face Nantes next and then Clermont, so they could potentially end the season with 2 defeats there, isn't it? Because the Clermont will want to go out in a high, even though they're at home that last game, isn't it? They put on a show for the fans. Nantes are in cloud 9 now, unless they show up drunk.
It's terrible for Lyon, because if you look at those 3 games last week, you're thinking they beat Marseille. They're about to get 4 wins in a row. European football is back. Pretty bad. The other team that did well in the bottom, Clermont, who won 2-1 against Montpellier. They needed the points to be able to put some space between them and the relegation zone. And getting all 3 points against Montpellier was, I guess, the breath of fresh air needed. Clearly, they wanted it more. And on the shot from Mohamed Bayo, Rashani was able to tackle the ball in the empty net. Then Chotard's equalizer for Montpellier. Have you seen that goal from Chotard, Liam? Yeah. You have to. Anybody who hasn't seen it, you have to see it. Wild finish. The control, the sombrero, the volley. That's his first goal in Liga. I mean, what a way to start.
It's like something Teche Savanier would do, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like a Savanier goal.
I heard his name and I was like, what is he even doing that high up the pitch? But great goal for Chotard. And then unfortunately for Montpellier, they should have scored by the English striker, Mavi Didi, but he missed the unmissable just a minute later. Alone in front of the empty net, like hitting the cross or then hitting the goalkeeper. I don't know how he missed that. The penalty is what made the difference in the second half. Sacco fouled Berthomier, and then Bayo was here to score the 13th goal of the season. Another striker was probably going to be on the market in the offseason, Mohamed Bayo. I think everybody will jump on him. Huge win for Pascal Gastien because now they go up a spot on the table. They pass Lorient and they're kind of saved. I mean, the worst that can happen to them is playing the relegation playoff, I think, at this point. But yeah, if they get a point in the last 2 games, they're probably safe and they're on a good momentum. So it would be good to see the two sides that were promoted during the offseason actually keep staying in Liga. We know that next season is going to be a bit more complicated for the French teams to save themselves, because after the next season, Ligue 1 goes down to 18 clubs. So four clubs are going to be relegated next year. So at least if they can build on this result, it'll be good for them. Paris Saint-Germain and Troyes was the last game of the weekend. We're quickly going to talk about this before we jump a bit on Bordeaux and their trouble. PSG Troyes was just a great example of Paris Saint-Germain not learning. The champions were against a Troyes team that is good but not great, and is on a good, I guess, momentum, but I mean, they're never at the level of Paris Saint-Germain, right? They were up two goals before seeing their opponent level. Marquinhos walked in Di Maria's free kick into the goal, and then Mbappé earned a penalty that Neymar converted. There's a cute little banter that happened between Neymar and the goalkeeper, where the goalkeeper said after the game that he went to Neymar and he said, "Look, my whole family is watching. My wife is in the audience. Please tell me where you're going to put the ball so I can save it and be the hero. So for once, my family can be proud of me," which is pretty funny. And sometimes you hear that Neymar is actually not the person that he portrays himself to be, but actually nice to the other players around. So that's good to hear anyway. He scores eventually, Neymar. And then Paris Saint-Germain, to make sure that they were not going to get the easy win, decided to give the first goal away with Nuno Mendes passing the ball in the run of Ugbo at the edge of the box. And then the Canadian international happily picked the bottom left corner to beat Navas. Messi, as he has done all season, hit the posts after dribbling five players. They were telling on TV he hit the woodwork 10 times this season. The second one in that stat sheet in France has only hit the woodwork five times, excuse me. So it's twice as much for Messi than it is for his follower on that hitting the crossbar or the post rankings. In the meantime, Kimpembe though had foul repair in the box, and Florent Tardieu, who I've said it in the pod a few times, he's a local for me. He's a friend of my young cousin. We are born in the same city in Istres, in south of France, and he played for Istres for quite a bit, Florian. Well, Florent Tardieu, who scored two goals on penalty last week, had another penalty this weekend at the Parc des Princes, which is probably special for somebody who's born near Marseille, scoring a Panenka to secure a point, and potentially the point that keeps your team in Ligue 1, must have been a little bit to celebrate for the Troyes captain after the game. Paris
concedes some nerves to do that, isn't it?
I know, right? The Panenka against Keylor Navas. The balls, man, you know, you have to
big balls.
You have to be able to back yourself, because if you miss that one, you're not going home. So so you got to be able to back yourself. Like I was saying, third consecutive draw for Paris, who seemed that they're already on holidays. I mean, some of them were on holidays this week for a marketing coup in Rwanda. Troyes get the point that saves them, basically. They probably didn't count on the point coming from that game, but they're most likely in Ligue 1 thanks to Paris Saint-Germain. Paris Saint-Germain, who's just I'm almost tired of talking about Paris Saint-Germain, how good they should be and how good they are not. And at the public during that game, when they announced the name of the players, cheers, 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 and then it says Pochettino, and the public starts booing. I mean, the poor guy, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. Yeah. Like, I feel like they don't learn. He's going to go to United, or not United, because they said Ten Hag now, but he's going to go to another club. He's going to win a Champions League or a Europa League.
He will, won't he? He will reinvent himself somewhere. It's like you said, it seemed the minute they exited Europe, the guys, they're gone on the beach, isn't it? As well, you know, with a World Cup year, some of them superstars, they don't want to get in. The Qataris will have them doing photo shoots all over the world during the pre-season. They've just completely checked out, a lot of them, haven't they?
So sad. It's so sad, and it's such disrespect for the real Paris Saint-Germain fans, who are expecting much more from their club. they won the league, and I guess they've part of the contract has been respected. All right, the last game of the weekend and the game that is probably sending Bordeaux to Ligue 2. Bordeaux was playing against Angers in Angers, and Angers won 4-1. So yeah, it's Bordeaux digging their grave a little bit deeper every week. The first goal came from a pretty weird outing from Benoit Costil, questionable decision, which caused the first goal. And then there's not much you can do on the second goal when Baptiste Mendy had that ball quite hard, actually, from a corner. Guillaume, the Bordeaux coach, makes three changes at halftime to try and change the game. It works for a bit with Sekou Mara scoring a header of his own. But unfortunately, that hopes only lasted 2 minutes when a nice little transition move allowed Barroquin to score. And then Pereira Lage, finished the job quite late in the game. That new defeat sends Bordeaux to the bottom of the table. If Saint-Etienne win against Nice, that delayed game on Wednesday, Bordeaux is condemned to play in league the next season. And anyway, they're going to need a miracle if they want to stay in Ligue 1 next season. It's just sad, isn't it, Liam? I mean, we've seen it coming, but yeah. Again, they had an easy end of championship. They have Angers, Lorient, and Brest. Their cards was in their hands. They could have saved themselves.
And Angers going into this game, they still had a slight relegation hanging over them, but they made Angers look like Brazil. They were completely overran, bar that young teenager, Sadku Mera. He looks a good player, and in typical Bordeaux fashion, they're going to sell him out. They're going to sell him to the first bidder. And they've been doing this constantly over and over again, as you know, for 10 years, selling players. Tchouaméni, as you said there, they've probably sold him far too soon. You hold on, what would his worth be now? It is, as you said, really sad to see them go, but they seem to have suffered from gross mismanagement over many, many years, the seeds of their demise, them American owners, them hedge funds that own them, completely bad news. And then the Media Pro deal obviously affected all the clubs in France, but that and COVID seems to completely derailed Bordeaux's finances off the pitch. And when they keep selling their best assets, eventually going to pay the price. But their supporters, even like that bizarre story earlier in the season when their short sponsors were slagging them on Twitter, their crest being changed without consultation, they have been dragged through hell, Bordeaux fans, and they're going out of Liga on out of whimper. What do you reckon is going on in Laurent Koscielny's mind, given how badly they treated him, this bogus job they made up basically to get him off the wage? But wouldn't there be part of him that is probably going, well, that's what you get?
Has to be. How do you think like a guy like...
He's only human, isn't he?
How do you think like a guy like Koscielny is not a professional? You don't make it at Arsenal wearing the armband and you know, for so long with his long career, if you're not a professional. Maybe he relaxed a little bit when he went to Bordeaux, but you can't say that he's not a professional. And he was holding the fort for them all season last year. Like, everybody has a short memory. And to me, it's Gerard Lopez. It's what he did at Lille. You know, he was lucky that he had, two very nice shields in Luis Campos and Christophe Galtier. But now that he's not shielded and he has to make decisions himself and he has to be the voice of his own decisions, it's all going from bad to worse. And Bordeaux are paying a dear price. And, you know, you almost want him to get rid of the club after the summer, and unfortunately that might mean that they're going to go to Division 3 or 4, but it looks like they need to sort of, you know, to be born again from their ashes and to, you know, scrape everything. This was a shitty 10 years, new slate, it's a historical club, they're always going to have a following, they already have an okay setup as far as academy goes, you can rebuild
this. And a massive stadium, isn't it? Massive
you can
stadium.
Based on the history only and based on all the infrastructure, you can rebuild the club. Just let it crumble and build it again.
And the scary thing is, you say this, it doesn't seem they've bottomed out yet, isn't it? You're thinking, where is enough for Lopez? When is he going to move on? Because this short-termism that they continually do, this constant turning over players over and over again, would someone like Laurent Blanc, would he come back and there's an advisor or some footballing people need to get in there? Because the business people that they've let come in there have completely torn the soul out of the club. And I was looking on the formations they've used, and just in the last five games, they've gone 3-4-1-2, 3-4-3, 5-4-1, 4-4-2. It's May, and that screams they still don't know their best team, isn't it? It's just constant panic, flux, and it's they don't have the gems anymore that they're going to sell to get the money in, isn't it? Where's the money going to come from?
It's sad for a coach like David Guillon that I like a lot, but he came in too late, and I don't think he was able to change anything, and I don't think he made the right choices while he was struggling as well. So that's where we are. If we look at the table, Bordeaux's last with 27 points, Metz 1 point ahead of them, surprisingly, with 28 points, and then Saint-Etienne at the 18th position with 31 points and a game in hand. Again, if they win that game, they're pushing Bordeaux in Ligue 2, and Metz will have a tiny chance to be able to come back, but most likely they'll push those two teams to straight relegation. And then in front of Saint-Etienne, it's Lorient with 34 points who need to get a point, but they're not going to have a very easy calendar to finish. Clermont with 36 points seems safe, and then Troyes are safe now, where they are with 37 points. At the top of the table, Paris Saint-Germain, of course, 80 points is ahead. Marseille with 68, followed by Monaco with 65. Rennes, 62, but a game in hand against Nantes. If they are lucky, Nantes is on holidays. If they are unlucky, Nantes will be keen to show their fans that they can celebrate the Coupe de France by axing the rival and neighbor Rennes at La Beaujoire, which will do a world of good to Marseille. And then behind Rennes, it's Strasbourg with 60 points, Nice with 60 points to have that game in hand, and then Lens with 58, all the teams that can still pretend to play in Europe. The next games we've mentioned, of course, those two games midweek, Nantes against Rennes and Nice against Saint-Etienne. And then next week, Saint-Etienne will play Reims, Montpellier will play Paris Saint-Germain, Metz is playing against Angers, Strasbourg is playing against Clermont, Lyon against Nantes, Monaco, Bordeaux, Troyes against Lens, Bordeaux-Lorient, which will be interesting, Nice against Lille, and Rennes against Marseille, which will be one of the two finals that both teams are playing until the end to try and get the Champions League squad, the Champions League spot, excuse me. Of course, all the games will be played at the same time, as it's tradition in French football. The last two match days are what we call the multiplex, with all 10 games played at 9 p.m. Saturday, 5 a.m. for me here in Canberra, 3 a.m. for you, if I'm not mistaken, back in Perth, Liam.
On point, Jim. And hopefully by then, my jet lag will have gone away. I'm still on Irish time. It's very hard living down under when your mind and body and soul is still in Dublin. But yeah, hopefully it's the end of the jet lag. And hopefully it's the end of Nice's Coupe de France jet lag as well. I'm a bit worried, as you said, you read out the fixtures, because Lens play Troyes, and Troyes, as you said, are safe on the beach, probably celebrating. It could be an easy win for Lens there, so they could pass out Nice if they're not very, very careful.
They still have their fate in their hand, Nice, but they need to get the three wins if they want.
Yeah,
if they want to be there. If they beat Saint-Etienne, if they beat Saint-Etienne, they're putting pressure on everybody, because all of a sudden they got 63 points and they're 3 points away from Strasbourg. They're a point away from Rennes before Rennes' game, but they're just 2 points behind Monaco. So it's all, like, it's definitely not lost for Nice. They just need to get wins. Like, it used to be, that's a win. And now it's like, wow, if they win, it's great, but no one really expect them to be able to win that game, unfortunately, anymore. Nice. Not the best end of season for Les Aiglons. Liam, thank you so much for accepting to spend time with me again and talk about French football and talk about the French Cup final. Thank you for your participation, and thank you for being such a great Nice fan and giving us your view on what's happening in the Riviera.
Thanks for having me, my friend. Hopefully it's not the last time. Hopefully I'll be in a better mood the next time and have more to cheer about. And looking forward to the transfer window as well. Obviously, there'll be some excitement there. And I wish you all the best with Marseille. I think you deserve that second spot given your scope of work during the season. So best luck getting the Champions League qualification. I will be looking on with very envious eyes.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Champions League given what happened 2 years ago, but you know, you can only be better than what we did before. Thank you everyone for following Castellin. Liam will be back on Castellin for sure. If it's not before, at least at the off season, so we can talk about all those transfers and we can talk about Nice potentially being now the second club of Radcliffe, depending on what's happening this week in Great Britain. Thank you for listening, everyone. And I'll talk to you again next week. Merci. Bye-bye.